Welcome to KGXT, Gen X Talks podcast, live from Central California. Making plans with the boys. I'm going to hit the town. Yeah, I'm going to make some noise. I'll push past the pain and my wounded pride. I'm going to live it up. Yeah, I'll stay out all night. But sure, I've had some better times. And I can't. Music is dying down.
Good
and
morning.
The lights are coming up, I think. My God, I can't tell if it's, is it, I see the sun. Is it morning time or is it evening
time?
Yeah,
but I don't know what day it is.
I guess it's
Thursday if we're here.
Well, yeah, it's got to be. If we're here, it's Thursday. My God. All right, let's check the numbers, see if the light is green, the trap is clean, and then we can move on. We got so much to talk about. It's all just fun stuff, too. It is all interesting, fun stuff. Okay, the microphone is on, and Streamlabs is recording, even though I have to blot out your picture, what
yes.
you said.
Today is not a good day.
No one can see what I'm seeing right now, but you said I have to put a static picture over you
yes.
on the live version.
Yes, or I was going to be late today, like way late.
You know what?
I slept in today.
Okay, here's an ulterior suggestion. Alternative.
No.
You could pop a boob out the whole podcast. No one would be looking at your face and your hair. Now, isn't that good? Because isn't that your concern?
Good for you.
Well, yeah.
No. The All day right. after vacay is yeah. the worst day.
It's tough. And I think, okay, everything is recording now. So I think we're up. Can anybody tell us if we're up on the butt? Is the butt running? I can't quite tell. Let me look and make sure if staff is on there. There might be some staff, or there'll be a KGXT listener. I can switch over to the KGXT radio live clicker deal. All right, nobody's checking in, so I guess we don't have any problems. I guess everybody can hear us. That sounds good.
All right. Well, they'll check in.
So, welcome.
Start the podcast.
What do you mean, start the podcast?
Come on. Do your intro.
You need to turn in your microphone. Make sure you're talking into it.
I am. Would you start the podcast?
How do you want me to? I was going to say welcome to the podcast. All right, broadcasting from KGXT Studios, 200 feet below occupied California, this is the Gen X Talks podcast. Now, if you're looking for the interviews, no, this is not the interviews. This is where my wife kicks the shit out of me for a complete hour. So I humble myself and humiliate myself at my own expense just for you guys.
They find out who really is the boss.
Yeah, they do. All right, Christopher, looks like Christopher Quillman just checked in. He said, sounds good. Great, actually. So I guess we got the numbers lined out.
All right.
And everything's. So we just got back from Reno.
Last night.
We had 4 days. We drove up there.
Slid in sideways.
On fire. We slid in sideways, on fire. You know, car broken down, doors falling off.
But we made it. Car was just riddled with bugs yeah, and whatever
bullet holes. We went up to Reno for two things. It turned out to be three main things. But let me tell you how this went. We went up there to look for some property. We'd like to live outside of the Reno area, maybe. And so we have looked outside of Vegas, poked around there. Now we went up to Reno, and there's that one valley, and I'm going to mess up the name of that lake right south of Reno. There's a little valley.
Washoe Valley.
And then the next little valley to the south is Carson City, so Carson Valley.
Carson Valley.
And then you have Minden and
Carson Valley.
What's the other one? The other town?
Gardnerville.
And that kind of ends that long valley.
All the way to Topaz Lake.
Yeah, so there's quite a bit of area, and there's east and there's west, so we didn't get a chance to explore everything.
No.
So we take off on the trip, and we're doing well. My wife and I are having the time of just even driving. We're talking about stuff. We're laughing. We're carrying on. Yeah.
If anybody knows, we went up 395, which is through the desert of California.
Right. Well, we jumped on the 58 to the 14, headed north on the 14, which kind of dead ends into the 395. And then you get up into Lone Pine and Bishop and
Mammoth. People know who Mammoth. It takes you up through Mammoth. It's beautiful.
It's a nice
God's
drive.
Country up there.
But it was I'm telling you personally, us, we were giggling and laughing and
we didn't
talking.
Even have the radio on.
No,
the whole time we had no radio
until our perfect drive was interrupted.
That was because of you. All you, big boy.
Well, a little bit, yeah.
What do you mean a little
bit?
Well,
I come over this hill, and, you know, when you're going on those roads out in the middle of nowhere, there's two lanes, and you pick up a little speed. So I'm just jumped up over this hill, coming down the downside.
Near Mono Lake.
Right next to Mono Lake.
Yes.
And way out of the distance. I mean, I'm surprised my eyes even saw this cop.
Well, because he was parked right in the middle. Who parks in the middle?
And sideways.
That's right. He was very visible.
He was very visible, but he had to have been a mile and a half out, easy.
Yeah, you saw it before I did. I didn't even see it.
Yeah, well, I hit the brakes, and you go, what are you doing? And then you saw the cop, and I'm like, what is it? And you even had to squint. He was far away.
Yeah.
So I slowed down from 95 to about 70, and then I come up on him, and I pass him. He doesn't even move.
Oh, you knew.
But he didn't move.
No, he didn't.
And I thought, all right, so we got a little time here. And then I'm about half a mile past him. Then he pulls out behind me, catches up to me, and then just follows me.
It was almost like they were disgusted. You want to go? Do you really want to
really
go?
Do you really want to do this?
I guess so.
They followed me for about another mile and a half. Then he turns on his lights, and I pulled over. And I don't know. How young was the cop?
Oh, 12. I mean, that kid was
he was
fresh
young
out of the
and
academy.
He goes, do you know why I stopped you? I said,
it's a beautiful day.
You were bored. He goes, no. He goes, you know how fast you were going? I said, I am a law-abiding citizen.
No, that's not what you said.
And I did tell him that. I said, what did I say? I said, well, I'd like to think that I was going the speed limit,
but
officer.
I wasn't.
But I probably wasn't. It didn't help that every time I was trying to straighten up my reputation, you'd giggle in the front seat.
Oh, yeah, because I thought it was hilarious.
That didn't happen. Every time I tried to say, well, I'm a nice guy and everything, then you're like, ha! No, he's not. I just needed you to be quiet for 10 minutes.
It was funny. Well, I had to find all the paperwork that he wanted.
I didn't have my license, my registration. You did. You had all that.
Oh, yeah, I handed it all to the cop. Here you go, big boy.
He goes, I got you with my radar. I go, yeah, that's not possible. I go, man, you were over a mile away. And he starts giving me the speech about modern radar like I'm an old guy. Well, sir, the way modern radar works, I said, easy, son. I'm not that old. And I said, there's no way radar could hit me at a mile and a half away. I mean, I've held radar guns, and I'm thinking, well, that was like 1985 was the last time.
Yeah, there's a lot of technology.
No, his work on laser. They can actually hit a laser beam on your car, so they know what car they're tracking.
And then I love what he said. He goes, then I saw the front dip down.
Yeah, he goes, I saw the front of your truck dip down. I knew you hit the brakes. I said, well, how fast did you actually clock me? He goes, I clocked you at 91. I know you were going faster than that because I saw the front of the truck dip down. I said, yeah, I think I was doing 95 when I saw you. I said, I wasn't trying to speed, just kind of got away from me. I'm not trying to race to the next town. And he goes, I got you. He was nice enough to write me up at 75.
Yes, he did.
And we shot the shit for a little bit. He was a cool guy, but, you know, he's his cop daddy who had the Mountie hat on.
Daddy.
That guy was behind. He got out of the car. This kid was in training. Officer Kepps, if you're listening, I love you, man. I'm just giving you a bunch of shit. Thank you for helping me out that day. Officer Kepps on the 395. But the cop who had the Mountie hat behind him and the big mustache and the aviator glasses, I don't think he was having any of that. You know, when they walked back there, I'm like, what are they talking about?
Oh, yeah. That was the other thing. You're like, God, they're taking a long time talking about all this information. Oh, you know what I did like about the cop is I had a copy of our insurance, but it was outdated in the car. I had printed it out. But, you know, now you can get your insurance cards on your phone, right?
Right.
So he saw me look at it, and I went, oh, this is expired. So I said to him, I go, oh, I have a one on my phone. Do you want to see it? And he's like, no, just give me the expired one.
He knew you'd look up the current one. He goes, I just need the number. I just need the policy number.
Yeah, that was
but
very
he
cool.
Knew, he, we're not 20-year-old kids racing around. He knew that we were legit. I just was speeding.
Yeah.
So we had a pretty cool conversation, and then something I put up on Discord, I need to put it up on the subscriber site, was that helicopter.
Yeah, that was interesting.
We come up over the hill, and there's this helicopter dangling a big rectangular frame.
I was going to say, like, octagon shape. I don't know. It was so weird. It was like a frame.
It was a rectangle frame, man.
Yeah, it was like a frame.
And it was dangling, you know, 100 feet below this helicopter. It didn't have any tanks on it, so they weren't spraying something.
Or they weren't picking up water.
No, they weren't sucking anything up. This thing looked like it had electronic wiring going all over it, so they were measuring something or looking for...
It was wider and longer than the helicopter.
Oh, by a lot. This, Yeah, six helicopters long. This thing was fucking huge.
It was big.
And I even asked the cop. I go, "What you were sitting down here? Yeah. This thing's been going up and down Mono Lake. It was going. It wasn't on the freeway. It was over the lake. It was doing something over the water." And the cop even said, "He goes, I don't know what they're doing. And we've been watching them for an hour, and we never did figure it out." I put it up on like Discord. For those of you that don't know, we're active in our Discord server, which is a bunch of chat rooms, but it's a lot of fun. Discord.gg/GenXTalks. And that's Trippy Dippy Pineapple's domain. And I put it up there. Nobody knew what it was. Nobody had a clue to what that helicopter thing was. And then, so I got my ticket. We had the confusing helicopter and off we went. And that, you know, that didn't bother me.
No, we laughed for another mile. Just
I haven't
laughing.
Had a ticket in 30 years, so I didn't care. I'll pay the fine and I'll do the little class.
No, you won't.
Well, you will.
You're not doing the class.
Officer Kepps,
when was the last time you did that?
Officer Kepps, I'm taking the class. My wife's lying.
Oh, brother.
So we'll do the class and I'll get it removed from my record.
I love that. We will do the class.
We, the proverbial we, man. We're a team now. We're married.
But you have never, I shouldn't say never. It's been a long time since you did 395. And you said to me going across the Nevada border.
Right.
You don't think you've ever done it or
I think I did it one time back in 84 or 85, but it's been so long I didn't recognize anything. But I know that I've come into Reno that way. I know I've taken, but it's just been so long.
But it was beautiful
once we
dropped in after Topaz Lake and it just opened up wide space. Yeah. It was just beautiful.
So we got to the GSR. We checked in. We got our stuff.
Wait. Slow down. Checked in.
Okay. The truth of the matter is after that long drive up there, we get to GSR. God. Now, remember, we arrived on a Sunday.
So, Sunday. We purposely did it on a Sunday.
Sunday, late afternoon, early evening. You want everyone leaving and no one checking in. And the check-in line had 200 people in it.
It was so long. It took us an hour and a half
to check in. Now, and when I'm sitting there, this is a true story. You know, for those of you that know, I have a wheelchair, but I don't always have to use it. I take it for various reasons, but if I push it like a walker, kind of, I push it for a long time. If my knees give out, then I can sit and still move around. But in this case, my wife, you were hurting so bad from the drive. And now we're standing for over an hour in that line. I got out of the wheelchair and put you in the wheelchair, which was funny to people standing around me. They're like, wait a minute, dude, who needs the wheelchair? You or your wife? Because they see me get out of the wheelchair and you get into the wheelchair. They're like, what are these two just trade off their handicap?
I've always had like lower back pain and hip pain since I had cancer. I have no explanation for it yet. But when I'm in a car ride for a long time, it starts really hurting. So that was, I just want to explain that's what it is. So
let me backtrack a little bit so you guys don't get confused. MarcyZavala.com, MarcyZavala.com, MarcyZavala.com. She has done miracles with my wife and pain. And now we're down to basically you just have this lower back pain. And she's working on that. She got rid of all your joint pain.
Yes.
Almost all your muscle pain is gone now. It is night and day difference. And your hormones are now getting in balance, which I can attest to this trip. Her hormones were working. And then now we're just trying to figure out this back pain, which may be a vertebrae or a muscle or something.
I don't know. I don't
but
know what it is.
Just to be clear, I don't want you guys to think, I thought you guys were using MarcyZavala.com. Why is there? Because she has gotten rid of so much pain for you.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're down to just this one last thing. And this may not be a diet, food, exercise thing. This may go back to over to Dr. McDreamy's side. It may be a medical thing that you just have something wrong with a muscle or something there. So just to be clear, you guys, that MarcyZavala.com has changed her life.
So we checked in. The reason it was long, we found out, was that Gladys Knight had a concert there. Now, I didn't know Gladys Knight had that much of a draw.
No,
but
in Reno.
That place was packed.
Yeah. And when there are two people talking in line and there's two black people talking in line about Gladys Knight, he's like, yeah, we go see Gladys Knight. And Gladys Knight, and the old boy, the young kid says, the old boy says, he says, wasn't it Gladys Knight and the Pips? He goes, Pips are all dead. Ain't no more Pips.
No
it's
Pips.
Just Gladys Knight. You don't say Gladys Knight and the Pips. And then somebody goes, why is it called Gladys Knight and the Pimps? He goes, not Pimps, Pips. So I think one guy thought it was Gladys Knight and the Pimps. No.
That would have worked too. What's but that? Not back then.
No.
It would have worked. That would have worked too, but not back then.
No.
That wouldn't have gone over.
So it was it was super crowded. We got in our room and
everything
was good.
Oh my God, we were so tired when we got to the room. And then we were really hungry though.
Well, and the problem was there was this thing, they were finishing up volleyball tournaments. It seems like every time we go, there's volleyball tournaments. So every coffee shop, every cafe, every nook and cranny is filled with kids. So we went to Charlie Palmer's Steakhouse. No kids in there.
No. Nope.
Because everything's expensive. And this is my wife gets, you get so mad at me. We're in a Mexican restaurant and I say real loud, hey, how about those tortillos? Can I get some frijolios and tortillos? And my wife smacks me with the menu. Stop pronouncing things like that.
You white boy.
You white boy. Yeah. So I goof around with the waiters and wait. Well, this one in Charlie Palmer's, there was a two steak special for $151. And I waited till the staff walked by and I go, what's this 151 next to the steak in the menu? Is that how many calories? That can't be the price. 151. That's got to be how many calories. She's ready to throw a glass of water in my face to shut me up.
My goodness. So we filled our bellies with a nice steak dinner. Never disappoints.
There was a pimp daddy working the crowd. Remember that guy? This old boy walks in.
Ooh, he was dressed.
He was dressed in that. This black dude, probably in his early 60s. Dressed to the nines. He had the shirt buttoned down with the gold chain and some gold rings. He had a cane and like a trilby hat. He walks in with three or four women and sits down. They're waiting for the concert.
Yes, they were.
So he brings them into Charlie Palmer's. Everybody's
and he's
drinking.
Ordering drinks for everybody.
And he's talking, goes, and he just met these girls because he says, well, let me tell you a little bit about myself. You know, let me tell you when I was a young man. And he's working this and he kept four women interested for an hour.
Yes, he did.
And he didn't miss a beat. And then they got up to leave right about the time we did.
Right.
You're a little bit ahead of me. And he sees you. He hits on you.
He goes, hi. Or what did he say?
He said something like, hey, sugar, how you doing?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because
it's like, I got room for one more.
I acknowledged him.
You did.
And I smiled.
You smiled back.
And then you showed up, and he was like, whoa.
Yeah, I was like, hey, man, you already got four chicks there. Leave mine out. Come on, man. Don't. And you could tell in his face, he's like, I can't help myself. I just got to throw it out there.
That's going to be you.
What?
About 10 years.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not that smooth. I'd like to think I am, but that cat had it going on. I almost wanted to walk up and fist bump him just because. He was cool.
He was working it,
yeah. So we did find a place to eat without kids, and it was delicious. And Dr. McDreamy, I think he's the one who recommended that to us years ago.
Yeah.
So we've gone by there a couple times. And so we exhausted from the trip, got my ticket, you know, an hour and a half in line. And then we finally found a place to eat, and we go back up and crash out. And I went out.
Yes, you did.
This hotel has four pillows on each bed.
Oh, it had most pillows I'd ever seen on a bed.
And then it had all those big permanent pillows, the matted pillows, like decorative
pillows.
And they're huge.
Yeah.
And you threw four of them off your bed. And I'm like, give me those, because we had two beds. I don't know how we ended up with two beds, but I built a
fort.
Yeah,
so we didn't share bed. That was kind of cool, though. You had your bed, I had mine, and we were fine with that.
Yeah.
That was cool.
And then, and I'm telling you, I built a fort out of those pillows, and I crashed in the middle, and I was out. Yeah. I was gone.
Yes, you were.
So that's how our 4 days started. And to be fair about this, the next morning we got up. I got up early. I was in the shower, got my meds, got my pills, got my stuff going, and I'm ready to go. And you got up leisurely. You weren't dying. You got up.
No, we got we.
And
yeah,
then
we
breakfast
took our time.
The next morning was delicious. I couldn't believe their coffee shop was so good. Normally, hotel coffee shops are like Red Rock. I love the Red Rock Casino in Vegas, but one of their coffee shops that we eat at is just the most bland food ever. And this place had some really good food.
Yeah, it was really good.
Then we did our trekking around out. I mean, I drove. Where was I? Can't remember the name. I drove
Lemon
first.
We went out to Lemon, that one way far away.
Yeah, the North
Lemon
one.
Valley.
So if you guys look up Lemon Valley, there was 10 acres out there for sale for like $150,000. And it was way out there. And I don't mind being way out there. I don't even mind being in the desert. It's just that when I drove all the way out the dirt road and I got out and I walked around, I just didn't feel the vibe. I was like, this isn't what I'm looking for.
I didn't care for it.
It was okay. I mean, to anybody living in Lemon Valley, it was okay.
Yeah.
I just
it just wasn't us.
That wasn't what I was looking for. So we drove back in And then we went south of town. Minden and Gardnerville, started looking around in there. Minden, a regular four-bedroom house is $1 million.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, Minden's off the map. I mean, it's way out of my league. And so we did some looking around in some other places. And then I went, ladies and gentlemen, I went to hide the golden coin. I painted some golden coins. I stamped some golden coins.
Before we left.
And I had the super glue and everything's ready. Gave them to my wife. Said, don't forget to bring the golden coins. We get to where I'm going to hide the coin. And I got to kind of sneak out to where it is to hide this coin. And I sat there and I said, okay, all right, honey, give me the golden coin. Hand it to me. And she starts looking through her purse. And then she starts looking in the truck. And then she looks at me and goes, I think I forgot it. And I said, you did what? Now, you've explained the story 6 times, but you don't quite explain it right. So on radio, you got to get it right. What happened with the golden coins?
Well, before we left, I had a certain purse, my purse that I was using the whole time.
Right.
And I went downstairs, I collected everything, put it in a Ziploc bag and put it in my purse. But then you started handing me more things to put into my purse. So when we travel, I carry his wallet, his sunglasses,
my cologne,
his night glasses,
yeah,
his cologne. So ladies, you know, like it gets, I'm like, this is not going to fit.
Yeah.
So what I did is I went into my closet and got a bigger tote bag and brought it out to our bed. And the old purse, I tipped over, like dumped it, like shook it out. And I gathered everything and put it into my bigger purse. Didn't even think about looking to see if the gold coins, I figured it dropped out.
But they got stuck somehow.
They did. But before I knew that, we were waiting. He's talking to me going, where are they? Where are they? I'm like, I know I packed them. I know they were in my purse.
So then I was getting mad and she convinces me they're obviously in another bag back at the hotel. I was like, All right, I'll deal with that. And I even texted the kid, Briggs, and I said, look on my desk, her desk, by the front door. He searched everywhere. He goes, dude, they're not here, Dad. There's no gold coins. I said, okay. So now I'm pretty convinced they're back at the hotel. Well, we get back to the hotel. Guess what she couldn't find?
I went through every pocket, every suitcase, still couldn't find it. And I'm like, this is driving me insane.
And then she has like a light bulb go on in her head, and she goes, you know,
I did switch purses.
I did switch purses, and I'm like, what? So then you called the kid and said, go to my closet, and there's a purse hanging behind the door. And he goes, hey, it's full of gold coins. There's a baggie of gold coins.
I felt better. I thought I had lost my freaking mind, but
so
no.
The next time we go, which is the next day, I had to go get more quarters. We had to go get gold paint. We had to go to Harbor Freight and buy some punch stamps. Went to the Sun Valley Fox's house. We painted them all up. We stamped them. We let them dry. We drive out to again, I'm there and I'm like, I'm about a block away from being there. I've got the gold coins and I say, okay, hand me the super glue. You hear that giggle she just did? That's what she did to me. I go, hand me the super glue. And she goes,
I was in the bag with the gold coins.
Back in California. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Why didn't you tell me that?
I don't know. It didn't even dawn on me. All you kept saying was gold coins, and then I was like, well.
Yeah, so we had to drive over to the gas station or Rite Aid or something to get some super glue. Ended up not needing the super glue on that particular coin, but we did hide the coin.
So side note, if you're looking for the gold coins, take a screwdriver with you.
You're going to need a little bit of a screwdriver on this one. Yeah
to get
on
them
both
out.
Of them, actually.
Yeah.
So we did hide gold coin number 8. It is in Nevada. It is not down by Vegas. It is more towards
Reno. It's in the Reno area.
And then we went to my brother-in-law's house, the Sun Valley Fox. He invited us over for a barbecue. And I need to tell you something. I know you guys think he's been my brother-in-law for 30-some years, but him and I didn't bump into each other often. I was at his house for a couple hours 1 year, but my wife would take the kids every year and drive up to his house and spend time with them, then on up to grandma's and grandpa's house in Oregon. I stayed home and worked. And then the times that he came down, I didn't always catch up with him when he was down helping Bema down in the San Fernando Valley. So we knew each other. We liked each other. We got along. But in all these years, we've never had one-on-one time to bond.
No.
And we haven't really had any time to talk without other people always there.
Right.
And even the times that we did, it was only for half an hour.
Right.
This was the first time in our entire...
It was just the four of us.
Yeah, and we sat down with his wife, Donna, who I love, and my wife and I, and we just sat down in his perfect, beautiful backyard. He's got this landscape backyard with a pond and a waterfall, and he's done it all himself over the past 30 years. A view of the mountains, like up towards Tahoe, with snow on them. And it was a warm day, and
it was
a breeze, and he under his big umbrella. We had some whiskey. He brought out some really smooth whiskey.
Pendleton.
And then he made these ribs with the meat fell off the ribs.
Yeah.
We must have spent 6 hours doing nothing
but talking,
all four of us. And mainly your brother and I, Sun Valley Fox and myself. And then I can't tell you when I left that night how close I felt to your brother. I mean, we always had some common ground, you know, I married his sister, but to find common ground as men, all the things that we did parenting that were the same, our values that were the same, our politics, our religion, are the things that we just touched on that we're like, oh yeah. And we just, it was a flow. I can't tell you what a blessing that is because you don't know how you're going to get along with all your relatives. You don't, you marry a person and you're stuck with their in-laws. And it could have been just as bad. I mean, I've got one of my in-laws I don't get along with at all with my wife. This one got along famously. And we really had a good time. I couldn't have felt more at home or at ease. And we stayed till it was too cold to stay anymore.
Yeah, outside. That's right.
And then we drove back to the hotel because mm-hmm. it's not very far. It's 30 minutes or so. Drove back there, grabbed some snacks on our way up. And I don't remember which night this was. It's not important. But... We get to this thing and we're walking to this area where they have this total snack bar is so cool. They have fresh made donuts, carrot cake, and pizzas and deli sandwiches.
It was smart. They did a smart move.
It was
with
like
that.
They had one and they made everything fresh.
And it's right off the casino floor. So if you had munchies and you didn't want to go sit down at a restaurant, you wanted to keep gambling, you can go grab it and get back to gambling. It was smart. They had it laid out great.
I forget what comment you made. We're walking to the place and it was a little crowded, the walkway, and you said something and I stopped.
Yeah, remember? Right in the middle of the walkway.
Everyone's moving and I go, hey, I was joking with you like, hey, what are you talking about? Don't talk about me.
I'm like, you people are behind you.
And the dude almost runs into me from behind. Anyway, we get to this little place just a few steps away. And that guy who I almost made run into me, he points at me because he got ahead of us in line and he'd already bought his stuff. And he leans over and he points. He goes, hey, man, I like your shirt. And I looked down and I had my little generals, you know, little white circle Marvin thing from Gen X Talks on. Yeah. And I point, I go, this? He goes, yeah. And he looks at me like he goes, I watch them too. And I was like, okay. And I said, so this? He goes, yeah, I know what shirt that is. I know who you're talking about. But he was behind me, so he saw the big thing on the back of my shirt.
Right, your face.
And where it says Gen X Talks in big letters. So he knew, but the way he said it was like, he looked at me like, do you watch them
like
too?
Secret code.
Do you watch Gen X Talks too? And I'm like looking at him going, yeah, I watch Gen X Talks too. Do you not know who you're talking to? Because it's like walking up to Eddie Van Halen and going, I love Van Halen, man. You should listen to them. They're a really good band.
Exactly.
So I think I communicated with him. Yes, I do listen to Gen X Talks.
Yeah, that was funny.
So, but then my wife, cuts in front of this old woman.
Didn't even see her, to be honest.
Wasn't in the right line.
No, she was. I didn't even see her. But I thought she was just standing there.
She was 95 or 98 years old. And you walk up and start ordering. And she kind of moved her walker and then just looked at you. Didn't say a word. But everybody else saw what you did.
Yeah.
And they immediately, even though she was not in the real line, they made a comment. So I started joking with you. I'm like, hey, you just cut off this old lady. What are you doing? You fucking around and you're like, what? I didn't. So then this woman, we started talking and this woman may be 95, but I think she's a little bit of a scam artist too.
I think so too.
Because
I think she's been there before because they were like.
Yeah. The staff knew her. They're like, okay, there she is again. So
she conned something out of you.
She did. She conned me, but she stood there and I said, hey, I'm sorry. My wife got in front. She goes, it's okay. It's all right. I have $5 and I really want two brownies. And I said, well, go get two brownies. She goes, well, they're $5 each and I've only got $5. And I said, well, tell you what, I'll buy you a couple brownies. Put that $5 away. I said, let's get you a couple brownies. So I told you,
right.
I go buy her two brownies. And so she, you know, she was frail and moving slow, and she was talking slow, and she had these big puppy dog eyes. She says, and she's 95. She says, I'd like two brownies, but I can only afford one. I got $5.
Sound like Oliver.
And as soon as I told her I'd buy the brownies, she straightened up.
That's right.
She put that $5 back in her bra, and she says, ask him to heat him up and put some whipped cream on him.
That's right. And right there was the con.
I was like, how would you... All of a sudden, she knew. I didn't know they would heat up your brownies and put whipped cream.
Yeah, she's been there before. And when you told them, they almost rolled their eyes at you like, oh, you just got bought.
I know.
Sold.
I said, hey, make sure this woman gets her brownies. They're like, yeah, we know. You know? Yeah. I'm not saying she hoisted that walker up over her shoulder and walked away. But it's what it felt like. As soon as she got the two brownies out of me, she straightened up and talked normal. Hey, make sure they heat him up and put some whipped cream on him, will you? What?
I know.
So we got our food. She got her brownies and everybody was happy. And I got a really good piece of pizza.
You just went all tool time Taylor on us when we were in Reno and you saw that big, huge commercial building of Snap-on. Do you remember?
Oh,
in Carson. I think it was Carson City.
Yes. No, I don't know where it was. I thought it was in Reno.
Maybe it was
in Reno.
That area, but it was huge.
It was a Snap-on. Tool building 10 football fields long, and I was like, oh, daddy.
I want to go visit.
I want to go walk up and down the aisles of that store.
Yeah, that peaked a story about owning a tool truck. Do you remember?
Well, because we did. Story. At one of the points, we did, we scheduled a little one-on-one time. If any Gen X Talks fans were in the area, if you guys are viewers or listeners, we went to GSR into the Crystal Lounge. The way
right
the GSR
the
is set up, yeah, big, plush, beautiful lounge bar in the middle of the casino.
Yeah,
and there's huge, comfortable chairs, and the bar top is crazy looking. The bar top, and we just picked a spot and said, hey, if anybody's in the air and you want to stop by, we didn't make a big production or an event out of it. And we still had overall, we had a couple handfuls of people there. But that was one of the conversations that came up about owning a tool truck.
Yeah, you want to tell them about in Vegas? Come
well,
on,
I wasn't going to tell him that part.
Yes, tell him about it back in the day.
Well, back in the day.
When we had story time with Gen X Dad.
There was my wife has always told me to get a tool truck, do it as a job, and I just never did. And but in Las Vegas, tool trucks, I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with how they work, but if you're on a Matco truck or a Mack Tools truck or Snap-on, you drive from garage to garage or dealership to dealership and you sell tools to mechanics for an hour and you move on. And in Las Vegas, it's huge competition between the tool trucks. And so Matco, there was like six dealers in Vegas, I think, at the time. They all kind of got together and they weren't getting as many. They were losing revenue share. They weren't getting as many mechanics on their trucks. So they decided to try to find a way to, you know, they try specials and, you know, two for ones and all these things to get mechanics to come on the truck and buy tools. Somebody got the bright idea they should hire strippers and they would pay these girls about $200 for, you know, a few hours work or whatever it was, or $500 a day. And they would just stand there naked on the tool truck. And tool trucks are pretty narrow. You go on there, you can't fit down the aisle two people at all, especially if there's a woman in there with knockers, you're rubbing up against her. Every time you go by.
What a way to sell tools.
Their tool sales went through the roof. They had a rule that says you can't just come on the truck and look. You can't just browse.
Oh, you can't look at the tools?
You can't browse the tools. No, they said once the girls were on the truck, they said you either come on this truck and buy something or you got to make a big payment on your account.
Was there a limit of what you could buy?
Oh, of course not. But there was a minimum. I tried to buy a screwdriver that was like a pocket screwdriver, and the dude goes, not good enough. If you come on this truck, you're going to rub up against a titty woman. You're going to spend $100 or something.
Smart marketing.
Yeah. So that was the Vegas tool truck story. But Matco as a company caught on to that, and they said it violated one of their morality clauses or advertising or something. But they did it for a couple, 2 or 3 months one summer.
And yeah, those guys probably made a fortune.
The other tool trucks.
All of a sudden, they saw their sales go real high and was like, "What's going? That's what turned it on."
And then the other trucks, like Snap-on, went, "How come our sales are dropping?"
Yeah, and how come Matco's like going off the roof?
Yeah, everyone's buying Matco tools this summer. Yeah, that's a true story. That actually happened. Funny. I heard. I mean, my friends were on the tool truck.
I bet.
They told me about it.
Uh-huh, sure.
So I can't say that it was true, but they're...
Right.
They told me about it, so it's probably accurate.
Yeah, right.
And then, that's kind of how the stuff happened, and we're supposed to go from 6 till 8 talking with fans, you know, friends of the program, and we went till like 9:30, quarter to 10, and met some great people, some people that we had met before, but some new friends that came by, and I got some pictures. We'll post those later today. And boy, some new directions to go look for property too.
Yes.
You know, because people that are there, they know the areas. So I'm not saying that there's any areas that I disliked. I'm not saying there's areas I wouldn't want to live. I'm just, as every human being, if you have a preference, something will catch your eye. I just haven't found it yet.
This was just observation. You were just heading out to see where everything was.
I had to get a lay of the land. I didn't know where things were. So next time we're going to go look at, what's that valley east of town I wanted to go look at? It's like an hour east of town.
Well, it's out near Pyramid Lake.
Okay, out that way there was something there because one of the guys who came by, Matthew, he had 40 acres out there and he's describing it. I said, well, I want to come look.
Yeah.
So he told us how to get there. So next time I'm going out towards his place, if I know where he lives, I'll stop by and say hello because I'm going to go there. And then the other one was Dayton.
Yeah, Nevada. East of Carson City.
East, so away from the mountains.
Yes.
Okay. Dayton is another place we want to go look. There's a few. And then we want to look really far south. What was it? Topaz Lake, you said? Gardnerville. Really far south of Gardnerville, like before it goes up over the hills. Those are three places we're going to go look next time. We're going to go back. And but that's kind of how the trip went. Now,
so do you remember what Matt told you about Pyramid Lake and the Indian? Because it butts up against the Indian reservation about the water babies in the lake.
Matthew tells this story, and then all the other locals that are there,
they're like, "Yeah,
it's true, it's true." I'm like, "You guys are all full of shit. Every one of you, fuck off. This is not true." And then they're like, "No, no, no, it's an Indian legend. This is what happened."
Uh huh.
And they tell the story now. Help me out with the story.
I looked it up, and it's a folklore.
They said you got to watch out on the lake for water babies.
Yeah, fishermen disappear and stuff like that.
And water I said, babies. Okay, why? And like, well, now what was it? Somebody.
The story goes that if a baby on the reservation was born, with problems,
a defect, they thought
something
it was retarded. They thought it had one arm or something.
They drowned them into the lake.
Yeah,
that's what they said.
And?
Well, then the water babies come back for revenge. They're around.
So they say, fishermen go out there in boats and they capsize and the water babies, the spirits of the water babies drag them under the water and drown them. And I said, okay, so wait a minute. So Indians kill their babies because they don't like them, some birth defect. Why do these babies come back and drown white guys? Why do they come back and drown white fishermen? What do we do? You think the water babies would tip over a canoe with some Indians? And I go, this makes no sense. Why are they mad at us?
I don't know.
And see, they're like, well, this is just the story. How the story? I said, well, the water babies are very racist because we didn't do anything. This is not fair to fat white fishermen that we're getting in trouble. We didn't do shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was one of the stories that was out there.
Yeah, exactly. So we went back the last day. Remember, we were going to go out and look around, but we ended up going back to my brother's so you could do the gold coins.
Yeah, and that was supposed to be there 10 minutes.
Yes.
And we were there like 4 hours hanging out in his garage.
You were hanging out in the garage with him.
Yeah.
That's another day that you guys just got off on the same thing and looking. You were hanging out in the garage going, ooh, oh. What was one of the things that you found, what he did?
Well, I looked over at his miter saw, and he had it on. He had built a workbench, but he had recessed the miter saw down in the workbench. And as I'm sitting there looking at it, I said, did you recess that miter saw perfectly level so the deck of the saw is now the exact height of the workbench? He goes, yeah, that way I can put like 20-foot planks on here. And I went, holy shit, that's genius. That was smart. And it just was clever how he put it together. I liked it very much.
Yeah, it was fun. We had a good time.
Now, to be fair.
Uh-oh.
To be fair.
Uh-oh.
The 30th was our anniversary contract renewal.
Yes, it was.
We didn't entirely have two beds for a little while there. That's true.
We had negotiations.
We had negotiations on the same bed. I lost. I lost the negotiations completely. I gave up. I promised anything that she wanted. I said I would change. I would be better. I just let's just finish what we're doing. Now, I won't go into any gross detail.
Thank God.
However, when I started losing weight, I called Dr. McDreamy because he wanted progress reports on losing weight. And I told him, I said, I know this is going to sound dumb, but I can, when I'm brushing my teeth and I go to get some water, you know, she has a glass. She rinses with a glass of water at her sink. I bend over and put my mouth on the sink and spit out the toothpaste and water, and away we go.
Guy version.
And I called Dr. McDreamy and said, hey, I know this is dumb and you don't really care, but since I started that diet, I can actually reach the faucet much easier now with my big fat stomach out of the way moving. And he was like, that was great. That was good news. What else? And I said, well, I could bend over, pick up all my clothes off the floor without huffing and puffing and dying. I mean, these are real progress things.
Yeah.
When you're a big fat guy, you notice little areas of progress that you couldn't do before that now you can do. And they're small, but
they're
especially
significant though.
And to your doctor who's watching and he's like, that's gigantic. These mm-hmm. are big steps. Mm-hmm. All right. So without getting into detail.
Yeah, don't get too graphic.
Negotiations. During contract negotiations, there were some activities that normally couldn't be done that were done. And that's all I'll say. And I was like, holy shit. I said, I remember standing up going, hey, you see what I did? I said, I couldn't do that a couple years ago. All right.
That made your whole day.
It was great. I didn't care if I lost the negotiations. I threw open the drapes and stood there like Superman looking out that. Yeah. Looking out that window. It was. Yeah, like holding up that Simba pride lion thing. It was amazing. So yes, contract negotiations went well. I lost all the negotiations. Her hormones definitely are working, and she's not as limber as she used to be. Give that. She was sore the next day, but I had some minor accomplishments that will go down in the history books for me. Thank you very much. So yeah.
Well, okay, let's move on from that.
So we did have, that was our anniversary, and it was just, to be honest, you guys, it was a great 4 days.
It was.
Usually, even when you go on vacation, you're thinking, okay, got to get up, got to go get breakfast, got to get out of the hotel, got to go here, meet my friend, do this. We literally had no set plan other than the barbecue evening at the Sun Valley Fox's house, and it turned out, the whole weekend turned out just smooth.
It was fun. It was relaxing. We didn't, not that we didn't miss home, but we weren't worried about home. We just kind of.
And everybody says this. Everybody goes, oh, my vacation was so great. And it was one. And it wasn't. I mean, I've done the same thing. I've come home and said, oh, we went on vacation. It was perfect. Yeah, it wasn't perfect.
No.
There was fights. There was arguments. There was bad weather. You know, you always just put on your Facebook story that, oh, it was my life is wonderful. This one really was. Low pressure, easy. We didn't really accomplish anything spectacular other than we just enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah.
I can't remember a weekend that we did that where just everything was fine.
And we didn't even gamble.
No, didn't even gamble once. Not even one. So then we left and we were going to go out towards Matthew's house that the Wednesday we were leaving.
Right.
But everybody told us I-80 was going to be blocked. With road construction.
Yeah, we were coming home a different way. We were going to come up over the 80 and then drop into Sacramento.
Go through
and
over Truckee and Donner Pass and come down into Sacramento. And everybody says, oh, it's going to take you 3 or 4 hours because of construction. So we didn't go out towards Matthew's place. We did end up going over. It wasn't that bad at all. There was a few slow spots and it wasn't too tough. So we on our way, and I won't give anything too specific. But after we left Reno and before we got home, I know that's a big journey.
For us, coming home from Reno, it usually takes 6 hours, like 6.5 hours on a good day.
Yeah. And it took over 10 this time because
we stopped.
We stopped three times. One was we met. Now I'm going to mess up the names.
Phil.
Yeah. Phil McNeil. We met him and his beautiful daughter. She is so cute. She was adorable.
Yeah. She was
and,
gorgeous.
And he gave me some McLaren Jack Daniel's hooch.
Whiskey.
Yes. Yeah, and I was jazzed about that. Very thankful for that.
That was amazing.
And then we met, and I'm going to mess his name up.
Ryan Edwards in Modesto.
We stopped and saw him, and he had a he has a Twisted Three print shop. If I tell you that he does t-shirts, that's not even coming close to what he does. He specializes in Letterman's jackets. And then he does some...
What did he say he does? Like it's a 300 weird, a year, 500 a year?
Yeah, it's a weird implementation. He's now making down button-down bowling shirts that have this weird process where the ink... He doesn't... It's not like he just puts a little color on there. The whole
it's
shirt...
It's almost like a sublimation of some
almost,
source.
But
yeah.
It's and he does the whole shirt that way.
And it's not screen printing
if,
either.
In other words, if you get a black shirt with a blue stripe...
Right.
The shirt started white. He inked the entire shirt black and then put on the blue stripe. That's the detail he puts in these things.
Yes.
So we're going to work with him on some ideas. And I don't know, fans, you got to tell me if you would do this. This is my thought. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I'm going to submit an idea to you.
Please comment in the box below.
Please comment in the box below. What if we had a Gen X Talks Letterman jacket? You guys bought it from...
Would you buy it?
Would you buy it from him? And then we give you patches for everything you attend. In other words, we can do them retroactively. If Trippy Pineapple bought a Letterman's jacket, I could make a patch for anybody that was at Two Bears Route 66 car show. We'd make a patch, Two Bears Route 66 car show. Anybody who attended and you have a Letterman's jacket will mail you a patch for free. You can put it on there. If you were at the Las Vegas meet and greet, in 22, 23, or 24, we'll have different patches or a pin. We'll mail them to you for free if you attended. Now you got your Letterman's jacket, your Gen X Talks Letterman's jacket, and any event that you attend, we will make a custom patch or pin that reflects that event and just send it to you. Your expenses, you got to buy the jacket from him. But after that, you know, you can collect the things you've been to. There can even be a special staff pin. If you are on staff or you've been on staff even in the past, you earned one, you get one, and you put it on there. Would that be something anybody would be interested in? If you went to VidCon, if you went to the Gen X Talks barbecue, if you went to the Reno meet and greet, you know, if you went to those things or you attended stuff, you'd get one. Are we on the right track here?
I don't know. We'll have to find out.
What do you think? Give me a little something here. You're just kind of staring out the window right now.
Well, Eric says he would buy the jacket. That would be cool, he said in our chat room thing going on. He said he would buy it. I think so. I'm just thinking where we live, it's a little warm for it. That's all, to wear it.
Well,
so.
It's more nostalgia than it is. I mean, that's like saying they don't give Letterman's jackets in Vegas. Of course they do, and they know it's hot. But, I mean, the idea is that... You have it for the collector's purpose, the nostalgia purpose.
Sammy Judd just wrote, Trippy would have a lot of patches.
Trippy would have a shit ton of patches. Trippy, there's things we'd have to make a patch just for Trippy because he's the only one who did it.
Oh, God, that is so funny.
Or like you said, you brought up a good point when we're talking with, what was the name again?
Ryan Edwards.
We're talking with Ryan. You said... Make a gold coin patch.
Yes, for anyone who finds the gold coin. That's very specific and very unique.
Yeah, and there's only going to be 50 of them.
Exactly.
So that if you got a jacket, you'd get a gold coin pin.
No, not pin, patch.
No, we can... Didn't you hear what I was saying? I know you were looking at your phone and shit. I very specifically 19 times said, some things will be a patch, some things will be a pin, and you can collect the section
of
pins.
Well, I thought the gold coin could be a gold coin... And then whatever number they found.
I think so, too. But because it's metal, we could make it into a little tiny pin.
Oh, Lord.
Are you, why
See
did you
why go, we're disappointed?
You
don't ask you for
look,
my opinion.
You look around the room.
I was looking
and
for
I catch
answers.
You off guard.
Don't start with me.
I swear sometimes
we're
I look
home,
over.
Oh, my gosh. If I had a brick, I would bust you up your head.
I'm telling you, I look over sometimes and I just want to go. What do you think? Because I know you weren't listening and have you go, that sounds great to me,
Apples
Bob.
Apples are red. How's that?
You know, contract negotiations are over. Now you're right back to not listening to me again.
Sounds familiar. You broke contract every year since then. Unbelievable.
Oh, so that's our idea. We are going to push forward with this and see if it works. And
the
people,
letter will be GXT.
Yeah, your letter will be GXT. And if it works, and you guys, remember, we'll probably sell them through our website, but it's basically not to make money, it's to just get the jackets out there. And if it works and you guys buy them, we'll make the patches, we'll pay for the patches to send them to you. I mean, you guys took the effort to drive all the way to Las Vegas or all the way to Reno for something. Well, we're so grateful. We'll make a patch and send it to you. No problem with that at all.
Yeah. So we need to announce next week on the 12th, we are heading to Arizona to
hide a coin.
Anybody in Arizona listening, Arizona's getting their coin in a couple weeks, so yeah, get ready.
I might hide two, but for sure we're doing one, and then we'll put up the clues on where it is.
Yeah.
And you know what was funny is that one guy, when we left Reno, you and I were leaving Reno, we were packing up and getting out of there, we had our breakfast and stuff, and I remember trying to put together a little collage, just a few pictures. I put one up there of Matthew and I, kind of, you know, thumbs up. I put one up there of your brother and I toasting to each other. I put up the Reno's, a little collage picture, you know, just saying goodbye. It was like, thank you, goodbye, we're leaving Reno. And I put it up there on all the subscriber sites, and I threw it up on Discord and just said, hey, it's a little goodbye. And this guy,
you're gonna reveal this?
This guy, well, it's out there.
Yeah, but he hasn't found it yet.
So don't say anything about the collage picture. Okay.
No, not about the collage.
All right.
No.
All right. I
don't,
won't.
Don't do it.
I was amazed. Half an hour, this guy calls me. Hey, man. I went, oh, God damn it. All right. Leaving alone. All right. Moving on. So on our way home, we hit another coin.
Yes, we did.
In California, Northern California. We drove around, did something special. Clues are coming today on that. And then we will be in Arizona with more clues. And also, for those of you not paying attention, this May 2nd. So this is Thursday, May 2nd. This Sunday is the Lakeside Barbecue and Car Show.
Anybody local that
anybody who can drive to the Bakersfield area this Sunday. It's Sunday from, I think it officially goes from 11 till 2, but I think we're going to be there like at 9 or 8:30, and we'll set
up.
You're
going to be there at 9 or 8:30. I'm going to show up from 11 to 2.
We'll send the kid over there to set everything up.
Oh, well, you know, Trippy will be here. He'll go
Trippy
with you at 9.
Trippy will go do it. Trippy will be over there. He'll knock on the door and go, give me the stuff. I'm going over now. We'll set it all up. He's got a truck. So, but if you guys want, anybody who shows up, I'll buy you a sandwich. We'll walk around, talk about cars. We're going to put a table and some chairs up right in front of our booth. It's
giving
low
away
pressure.
Free stuff.
There'll be some stuff to give away. If you guys make the trek down there for these kids, this is for an elementary school. They've been having a barbecue for 81 years in the middle of nowhere for the school. And now they've added the car show to it the last few years.
Most of the people that have had family farms in this area, most of those kids go to the school. It's kindergarten through eighth grade, I believe this school is. Yeah. I had a good friend of mine teach there, and that's what it is. It's the farmers have their kids go there, and right after school, they got to get back to the farm.
And the problem is it's an elementary school and a middle school, and it doesn't get a lot of funding from the state, so the locals in the area have been trying to help out for 81 years. Yeah. So this is the first time we've been invited. And I thought if some Gen X Talks folks could come by and just wander around and, you know, buy a burger or something, it'd be fun to do. Now I know
and
it's
Gen
not,
Z kid played basketball there at
he
their
did.
Gym.
He played basketball at that school. So anybody who can make the drive, if you guys come over, we will give you a free T-shirt. We'll buy you a sandwich at the barbecue. It just is a show support for some. This is rural America. These are farmers. All these kids are way out in the middle of nowhere. They wake up at the crack of dawn doing chores before school, like old school farming. And it's nice to go help them out once in a while. So
absolutely.
That's what we're doing down there. Brandon's Transmission, and I've known Brandon for years. He does a great job. He sponsors this thing for these kids. And this year we're tagging along with him to help out with Gen X Talk. So anybody who can show up on Sunday, and I know not a lot of you live in this area, but if you can get down there, it's a lot of fun to do it. Just drive out for the day and drive back. Should be a beautiful day, too.
Yes, it should.
So, yeah, that was there more to say? Am I missing something?
I'm sure there is, but
we did the deal. We drove there. We did this. We talked about Sun Valley Fox. And I can't tell you how comfortable I felt at your brother's house. That's the best way to describe it, because I've never really spent a lot of time there other than just kind of was in the living room and said, but their house is a home.
Yes, it is.
When you walk in, you feel like you belong. And our sister-in-law, Sun Valley Fox's wife, she's absolutely adorable. She is beautiful, and she is kind, and she has this
great
beautiful
hostess.
She's a beautiful smile. She does. She just smiles, and it makes you smile back. I couldn't have been more comfortable being there. And so I know Sun Valley Fox doesn't listen to the podcast, and I don't think his wife does either. So I'm not saying this to them. I'm saying it to all of you guys. It's nice to have relatives that make you feel like you are part of the family and at home the moment you get there.
For sure.
And that was a big thing for me. So you guys kind of got caught up. Was there any, what else am I missing on the stories on that?
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, the people.
Save some for the live stream.
The people that showed up to the meet and greet.
Yes.
I think I told more Wild Bill stories.
Yes, you did.
But that you kept telling me.
I know, because you those go, are hilarious stories. Like, they're
you go,
just...
tell them this one. And then I'd say it. And then you go, what about the one with the gunfight? And I tell them that. What about the one where you just kept me going? And like, what about when your dad tied you to a fence? And so we tell yes. them the story. But I'm telling you, they got more knowledge of Wild Bill than I think anybody has.
About you?
Well, less about, I was there, but less about me. That's like saying I was part of the Dodgers and Lakers dynasty because I had tickets to the game. They won the game. Well, I was there, but Wild Bill did all this stuff. I didn't do any of this stuff.
You were just there.
I was just there, officer. I was not participating. Okay. So we did the drive. We came back home. That was your limit, though. Even with the new truck that we got, super comfortable, newer truck, the heated seats, the lumbar, everything we could get for you.
Yeah.
10 hours on the road, even with small breaks. That's your limit.
Oh, yeah. I was done. That Plus was all the driving we did, you know, over the last 4
you didn't
days.
Really didn't have any downtime, but now I know 10 hours is the extreme limit for driving with you, not to try to go any further. In fact, 8 is the sweet spot. But if you had to push it, you could do 10. But that was it. I watched you. You were leaning forward in the passenger seat, and I'm driving, and I'm rubbing your back with my right hand.
Yes. At the end of last night. Just, but we both slept pretty good last night. I think so.
I did.
We were tired.
So
it's always nice to come home to your bed.
It was. Yeah, when you're home. So we did the track. We did the stuff. Oh, here's something else I did for my losing weight, less than fat ass accomplishment. tell the truth now. Did I not get all of the suitcases in one run?
Yes. Well, yes, you did.
And did I not get all of them upstairs, carrying them all at once?
Yes, you did.
There. I couldn't have done that a year ago.
No, you couldn't.
Oh, my fat.
I thought you were going with you had one soda the whole 4 days.
Oh, no. I think, I remember, well, here's the thing.
You had mostly water.
Mostly water. And the thing I did that, would be a plus for Dr. McDreamy listening and MarciaZavala.com listening is when I'd order something, I would not order like, oh, a triple quadruple cheeseburger with chili on the side and fries and a Coke and an appetizer. No appetizer. And I wouldn't even finish all of my dinner. I just wasn't hungry.
Yeah.
I didn't eat it just because it was in front of me.
Right. You stopped.
I stopped like, okay, I'm kind of full. So I left it there. So I ordered average meals and didn't even finish them. And the several times, I don't think I finished one soda. I think maybe I had 3 sodas over 4 days, and I know I didn't finish any of them.
No, you didn't.
Maybe half of a soda.
You did awesome. And you felt better because of it, too.
Completely.
Like, you were getting in and out of that truck and
I was hopping around, baby. I was moving. I'll tell you what I did miss, though.
What?
I missed it with a passion. I was so sad all 4 days.
Why were you sad?
I kept this to myself.
Okay, go ahead.
In all of Reno, I couldn't find any yuck water. You had yuck water. I didn't have any. I cried in the mornings. I kept it to myself. There was no yuck water in sight.
Oh, brother.
I'm sorry. I looked for it. Dr. McDreamy, MarciaZavala.com. I tried. There was no yuck water to be found. I wanted to continue the tradition of yuck water every morning, and it wasn't available.
I'll get you some today. We'll get back on track. I apologize.
Here's something that's going up, too. You got so mad at me this morning. I shouldn't even tell this. She got up. She stumbles around. She goes, I'm going back to bed. She crawls back in bed, and she's covered up, and she's got her. She covers her eyes with her hand because the sun's coming through a window. So I stacked a bunch of pillows on that side so the sunlight wasn't in her face. And then I stood I stood there and I said, hey, you awake? And you're like,
I grunted.
I am now. And I said, well, open your eye where you can see me. So you opened your left eye and you looked at me and I did my superhero pose.
Yes, you did.
I did. In the bed, I said, and I remember saying out loud, I go, Don't look at my Johnson. Look at my superhero poses. I'm doing the dab, as they say.
Yeah.
And I have lost another pound and a half.
Yes, you have.
So I had to wake you up for that. You weren't happy about it, but I did wake you up for that. So that'll go up. Everyone's bugging me. Not everyone. There's like two guys that just every couple of weeks, like, dude, you're not updating the fat guy page. Let's go. And I feel guilty. So I need to do that today. I will after it's over. But yeah, I've lost it. And I lose weight. When we leave, I eat less.
You're more active.
And I walk a shit ton. I'm pushing the wheelchair. I didn't ride anywhere in that wheelchair this trip at all.
No, you didn't.
You didn't push me one place.
What did I tell you about it, though? You were kind of hunched because it's low. You were kind of hunched over. I go, put your shoulders back.
Well, see, that's the thing. Is that you
stand at attention.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is a perfect example of where your wife just bitches because she can. Let me explain this. I am not riding in my wheelchair anywhere. I am walking and walking and walking and walking everywhere I went. And instead of my wife saying, hey, that was really great. You walked like 6 miles this weekend and you never sat in that wheelchair once. You used it as a walker and you were great. You did. That was outstanding. You know what she says? I'm pushing this wheelchair around and it hurts. I'm walking, but it hurts. And I'm doing it. And she goes, you're not standing up straight. You're hunched over. Can't you stand up straight? I'm like, it's a wheelchair. To reach the handles of the wheelchair, I'm a tall guy. I have to bend over.
And I didn't sound like that, just so you know.
What?
I didn't sound like that.
That's exactly how you sound.
That's not how you sounded.
Can't you nope. stand up straight?
Nope.
And you look at me and said, put your shoulders back. How do I bend over to grab the handle of the wheelchairs and stand up straight and put my shoulders back? How would you physically do that?
I have no idea.
Well, then why are you bitching at me? Why wouldn't you say, nice job, honey? You're doing great.
Nice job, honey. You're doing great.
It's a little late.
Eh, I just said it.
So we were walking in the casino and she starts bitching again. So I shot the wheelchair in front of me. I threw the wheelchair out in front of me and I put my shoulders back, my head up, and I put my elbows out and I was strutting. I was strutting behind the wheelchair.
People looked at you and like, what the hell?
Well, when I shot the wheelchair.
Praise God, he's walking.
I shot the wheelchair out in the middle of the walkway and everybody saw the wheelchair fly. So they all turned to see some big fat guy strutting with his head in the air, walking like the cock
of
the walk.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. And I went, I was trying to piss my wife off because she was being so stupid bitchy. And all I did was about 40 people looking at me going, dude, are you okay?
Pretty much.
Did your wheelchair get away from you? We can get that for you. I don't know. I got to think before I react on some of this stuff. I don't have a car story. Can we just count the me getting a ticket going 95 as the car
Absolutely.
Story?
Absolutely.
Oh, don't shoot that rubber band at me. I swear to don't. If you shoot that, I swear to God. Christ, you goddamn it.
I purposely missed.
Not by much.
I just shot a rubber band at his head.
What are you, that bored? You shooting shit at me? What the fuck, Charlie?
Wow, calm down there. I love you.
I'm perfect. Don't. You cannot. You shot a rubber band in my face and tell me you love me. Oh, your pain meds are kicking in because you're just acting loopy. All right, we got to go. We got to get out of here, guys. Say goodnight, Gracie, and I'll turn off your mic.
Good night, Gracie.
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. Not sure where you're listening in from, AM, FM, Sirius, XM, or on perhaps along the Armed Service Radio Network. Remember two things. Wherever you go, America, there you are. And I'll catch you guys on the flip side.